Okay, so following on from Rosie, the talk is broken up into two different parts today with songs in between. I like that because we don't all sit down and think, oh, I can go to sleep now, because you have to stand up for the song in the middle. So today, as I'm sure you're aware, we've been going through Matthew's Gospel, and this week there are two warnings from Jesus. But first of all, the reading, and Michael's going to bring us that.
The Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, "When evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning. Today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a sign, but none will give it except the sign of Jonah." Jesus then left them and went away.
Well, I think we should give them another clap. There were some very, very hard words there. So, as I said, we're continuing our journey through Matthew's Gospel. And this week, we arrive at two warnings from Jesus. The first warning, as read by Michael, is about the Pharisees were impatient and they needed a sign. Now, I don't know about you, but these Pharisees, they really remind me of people that are just so impatient and think they know everything. You know, that's what they remind me of. They're kind of really sort of difficult, trying to trip up Jesus in everything he does. And they're waiting for that time where they can say, you've got it wrong, or real, or you're not true. As I said, I can imagine Jesus getting very frustrated. By this time, he'd done several signs. For example, the feeding of 1,000. But the Pharisees could not see, as they were inwardly blind, as we sung in our first hymn. They could not see that the signs that they were asking for had actually already been done. So the Pharisees couldn't see what was right in front of their face. They couldn't see, as I've already said, Jesus doing signs already. It wasn't enough that he had healed the sick, calmed the storm, and fed so many people. No, they wanted the sign to satisfy their own vain curiosity. They wanted a sign for a sign's sake. They wanted a big miracle. They almost wanted Jesus to show off so they could trip him up. I wonder if they were testing Jesus or just trying to trip him up. What do you think? I don't know. Were they gathering evidence to trip him up? We don't know, but we can survive, can't we? The Pharisees were quite bright academically, but they weren't really bright spiritually. For example, as we've just heard, they could interpret the signs of what it meant if the sky was red in the evening, but they couldn't interpret the signs that Jesus was giving them. They were spiritually blind. They couldn't see that the Messiah had come. Or if they could see, they just didn't want to admit it. Because Jesus knew that they were, the conversation ended rather abruptly. Maybe Christ got frustrated or just didn't want to stay with people who constantly put into the test. How would you feel if you were constantly being put to a test? And I don't know about you, this passage is a good illustration to me that Jesus was divine but also human. Because it's a perfectly human thing, isn't it? To get tired when you're constantly being put to the test, and to get ratty when you're constantly being put to the test. But when I was first a Christian, I would only engage with God on my terms. I said to him, "Prove to me you're the leader of the universe, then I believe you." And by God's grace, he did. As we've seen in today's reading, people can be like that. I was a bit like the Pharisees when I first became a Christian. I wasn't satisfied with what he had already done. I needed something to satisfy my own curiosity. I wondered, do you test God sometimes? Do you say to him, "I'll do this if you do this," or "you do that and I'll do this"? And what we sometimes don't recognise is God has done all that he needs to do. By sending his son to die on the cross, he doesn't need to do any more. Because he does that because he's gracious to us. and he loves us, at least for now. In a minute, we're going to pray. And let's think about those times when we want to meet God on our own and ask him to give us peace and to give us the ability and the grace to come before him, to meet him on his terms, and not attempting to give things that we already have. Don't ask him to keep repeating themselves. How many times? Some of you that got children might have said, do I have to keep repeating myself? I told you no. And God sometimes says that, doesn't he? And that's what we've got to think about. So I will lead us in prayer in a minute and ask God to give you the grace and to give you the stamina and whatever you need to meet on his terms, not your terms. So let's pray, shall we? Father God, we thank you for being so gracious to us. We thank you for sending your son to die on the cross. And we say that we are sorry for those times when we've asked you to do more to prove your love. We're sorry that sometimes we don't believe that for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And we ask for more than we need to believe in you. Just help us to be more believing, more trusting in what you've already done, as opposed to asking you to do more things. Help us to be more like Christ and less like the Pharisee. In your son's holy name. Amen. Okay. So we're going to play a game. I'm going to let Helen explain to you what we're going to do.
So you should all have a red card and a green card. We're going to play a true or false game. So if you think something's true, hold up your green card. If you think it's false, hold up your red. Okay? I'm not testing you. It doesn't matter. They are kind of tricky questions. So there is nothing controversial. But I don't mind. It's okay to get it wrong. So true or false, the Jews got their slaves to do the work on the Sabbath. Is that true or false? We've got mostly false, a couple of truths. True is green, false is red. The Bible says, the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son nor daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your home. So you can't get someone else to do all your work on the Sabbath. True or false, the Jews were not allowed to eat rabbits. Because that's a complicated one, because the Jewish food laws are a bit... Not quite sure, half and half. Half and half. It is true. Leviticus 11 verse 6, the rabbit, though it chews the cud, does not have a divided hoof, it is unclean. Doesn't have a hoof at all, but... Okay, true or false? Christians are instructed to give 10% of their income to the church. It's all a bit... Tithing in the Old Testament, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. But, Paul says, 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So, okay. True or false, the Bible accepts polygamy, people having more than one husband or wife. In the Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob all had more than one wife. Solomon had 700.
700?
Yeah, I'm not going into
that.
We are told in Paul's letters that those leading the church should only have one wife. So obviously it was becoming less of a common thing by then. Okay, true or false? People in positions of authority in church are closer to God. Good, everyone's... We're told that not many of us should become teachers because those who teach will be judged more strictly, not that they're better than anyone else. True or false? You can be a Christian without belonging to a church. Mostly green ones, some red ones. When you become a Christian, you become part of God's family. You're part of the universal church, whether you meet in a building or not. But We're encouraged in Hebrews 10. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Living a Christian life requires relationship with other Christians. Okay, we're nearly there. Three more to go. We're saved by baptism. False. Yeah. Well done. In Mark, Jesus said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Belief and baptism went together, but it's not believing that's judged, not being baptized. Baptism's a sign of the belief, the demonstration of the salvation that's already happened. So it's important, but it doesn't save us. Okay. God loves people who behave themselves. True or false? We have an interesting mix here. There's a word that's not in there, that maybe some of you are hearing in there. Okay. God loves people who behave themselves. I think people are putting a word in there that isn't... Because I didn't say God only loves people who behave themselves. God loves everybody. So yes, he loves people who behave themselves, but he loves everybody. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Of course, we should behave ourselves, but God loves us anyway. Yeah. Last one. God loves us because Jesus died for us. God loves us because Jesus died for us. Well, Linda's got the answer for this one.
So Jesus died because he loves us.
Yes. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God's love came first. He died because he loves us, not the other way around. So now you've thought about some things that might be true or false about what we know, what we teach. We're going to have our reading, which Kevin's going to bring to us, from Matthew 16, verses 5 to 12.
When they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. Be careful, Jesus said to them. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They discussed this amongst themselves and said, it is because we didn't bring any bread. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, you of little faith, why are you talking amongst yourself about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves from the 5,000? And how many basketfuls you gathered? Or the 7 loaves of 4,000? And how many basketfuls you gathered? How is it you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread? But be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they understood that he was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teachings of the Pharisees and Sadducees.
We need to be careful who we listen to.
So, we arrive at the parable where Jesus is talking about false speech. And the disciples, not for the first time, get really, really confused. They misunderstand what Jesus is talking about. They think he's talking about bread that you eat. But he's not. He's warning them about the yeast of false teaching. Because the thing with yeast is it helps things to rise. So if we feed false teaching, it will rise and promulgate. Rising popularity, people will think it's the right thing to do. You only have to look at social media sites. I think it's called fake news, where things just rise and rise in popularity, but they've got no factual basis to them. So false teaching becomes damaging because it can lead to wrong things being taught. And when wrong things are taught, things become corrupt. Okay, but anyway, enough of that now. I fancy a cup of tea. So I wonder if one of the children would come up and help Heather make me a cup of tea.
Do you have sugar with?
I don't usually, but I'm feeling a bit funny today, so I think I might have just one.
Okay.
I wonder if this cup of tea will be worse. Oh, what did you put in that, Kevin? Okay. So, can you make a cup of tea? When I said, did you put sugar in? What else looks like sugar?
Salt.
But it's salt. What I want to demonstrate with that is, we sometimes accept things blindly. It's right, therefore it must be sugar. And the reason why I got the idea for that is because one of my carers actually made me a cup of tea once with what she thought was sugar and turned out to be salt. So we shouldn't just accept things blindly. What we should do when we're making tea or dinner is we should ask questions. Is that sugar? Because it might be salt, might it? And it's the same with Jesus. We should always ask questions. If we're not sure, we should always ask questions and not believe blindly. One thing I was taught when I was doing my PhD and when I was studying GCSE history, go back to the source and look at the source. Can anybody tell me as Christians, what's our source of reference?
The Bible.
The Bible, of course it is. So another way to combat false teaching is to go back to the Bible and sources that we know that are true. And sometimes people can try and convince you that things are true when they're not. Sometimes things might sound plausible when they're actually not true. How many of us in the game are going, oh, that sounds true, but it could be false? It's really hard, isn't it? When some facts can be presented sometimes opinions can be presented as facts and everything like that. So, like I said, as we saw in the game we played, some things sound plausible on the surface, but they're actually not true. So don't accept things at face value as a Christian. One of the things I loved when I was doing Alpha is I had lots of questions and I was able to ask those questions. A good Christian, or any Christian really, should allow you to question faith or anything about Christianity and not just believe blindly. So my advice to you would be ask questions, pray about it, and be open to God. It's normal to have doubts. It's not teaching or rituals that brings us closer to God, but faith. So the key thing we have is, as we heard earlier, baptism doesn't bring us closer to faith. It's an outward sign of the inward change. And that's really important. So at the centre of everything is faith, as we hear in the Bible, as we know to be true. So from your faith, you may then want to get baptised, as the baptism church that I saw on Facebook today, where Claire's preaching, and we pray for them as well. So you might want to be baptised, you might want to come into membership, and do a whole load of other things. You might want to serve, and if you do, I encourage you to speak to Helen today. So, in conclusion, before I finish, we should meet God on his terms, not our own, accept what God's already done for us, and understand the value of it before asking for more. Don't be afraid to challenge false teaching. If something doesn't sound right, go back to the source. If we feed false teaching, it's like yeast, it can help it rise. So let's not feed false teaching, and let's be Christians that are based on true things that we say and do. And at the centre of everything is faith. Faith is given by grace, not by rituals, and that's really, really important. And it's faith that brings us closer to God. Also, you might do work to come out of your faith as well. So I'm going to pray now for what I've... Lord, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to preach. I pray that my message is clear and simple, and I'm sorry if people don't understand it. I'm sorry if I've said things that people don't understand, and I would encourage them to question me and to ask me and to always question what they know to be true and what they know to be false. Help us, Lord, to become more like you, and give us grace to understand what you've already done for us before we ask for more. Amen. In Jesus' name.